Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 10 of the Mom Hour. 10, woohoo! Oh, yay. I'm Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Megan.
So today we are talking about something that I feel like comes up a lot in the summer, and that is things that moms hate to do, but we feel like we're supposed to like doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Whether for you, maybe that's taking your kids to the pool or pushing them on the swings, we're going to have a great conversation about that. I have a feeling this could be one where we get a little rambly. But before we move on with that, I want to do a quick shout out to this week's podcast sponsor. Today's show is sponsored by Summer Brain Games, which is offered by the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. If you've ever been there, it's awesome. If you haven't, it's worth the drive if you live anywhere, you know, reasonably close by, or if you happen to be visiting the city. Summer Brain Games is a free 8-week program, and it's really cool because you sign up via email, and then they send to your inbox every week a science-related activity that you can do with your kids. And it's not stuff where there's like a ton of parental involvement. It really isn't.
No, and it's a lot of time, and they'll give you like exact things you need and step-by-step instructions.
Yes.
So
it
does the work for you.
It does the work for you. And the really cool thing is if you register, you get one free entry to the Museum of Science and Industry. So you get a museum entry voucher, which is quite valuable. And again, gives you another reason to bring your kids. So if you want to register for free, it's totally free. Go to lifelistened.com/SBG for Summer Brain Games. That's lifelistened.com.
And just to clarify, if you have no plans on going to Chicago or the Museum of Science and Industry, you can totally still enjoy the 8 weeks of free activities. So.
Absolutely. Free. Get your kids busy, because right now mine are starting to get the, I'm bored, but they're driving me crazy. So it's lifelistened.com/SBG. Check it out. All right, let's move on to our conversation. Sarah, do you want to kind of
start complaining? I'm excited to talk about this today. And I don't know what brought this up in my mind, except maybe there was something I was doing that I, you know, felt like I hated. But you wrote a post, I think about a year and a half ago, called "For the Moms Who Hate the Swings." And I'll let you tell the story. But you you just talked about how you hate, and I will use the word hate, pushing kids on the swings, but that at this particular day, you're at the park with Clara and her little friend, and you realized that you were having a grand old time laying in the grass with them, making up stories and doing these other things, and this other mom was completely loving her time pushing her kids on the swing. So I'll let you kind of tell that story and how you feel about hating the swings, but I do think we should get specific today about some of our own little things that we just don't love doing with our kids, and why in the end that's really okay. You don't have to love everything. But tell us about the swings. How do you feel about swings?
Okay, so I have never really loved the swings. I think, you know what, taking it back to when Jacob, who's 17 now, oh my goodness, was a little baby, I remember the first time I stuck him in one of those, you know, baby swings, the hard molded thing, and pushed him, and I thought, oh, this is the most fun I've ever had as a mom, because he was so delighted.
He looked so cute.
It's so cute, and he was so excited, and I sat there and pushed him for like 5 minutes, and then he was really little. He was easy to get in and out, and I think that might have been the last time I enjoyed pushing him, because as they get bigger, you know, they get to be like that toddler age, and it's like their shoes stick when you try to get them in the holes, or like they bend a leg. So right from the get-go, and the heavier they get, the worse it gets. So right from the get-go, it's a huge pain, and then half the time I'd be pregnant, you know, with another kid while I'm trying to lug my toddler into the swing. So right from the get-go, I'm like, ugh. And then you stand there, often just like in the sun, and just push. And it gets really boring. And it's, you know, unless there's somebody else standing there with you you can talk to, you can't, you know, look at a book. You can't really speak to anybody. Right. You can't look around and stare at the sky. You're just push, push, push. Right. And the bigger my kids got, the worse it got. Like, to me, the absolute pits was pushing like a 3 or 4 year old, because then they're
huge. Who can't quite pump their legs.
Yeah. And I think it peaked for me when I had like 2 little kids, and when Owen and Clara were both little, that was, you know, prime, you know, pushing time at the park. And I'm not huge on the playground anyway, but it's better when I can zone out on the bench or whatever. And I couldn't do that, because I'm standing there just pushing. And I just thought, not only do I not like this, but I'm just going to admit it to myself. I don't like this.
Yeah.
This stinks. And so I started joking about it with my friends. Well, the funny thing is, then I found out I had this whole gaggle of friends who also hated push the swings and had been afraid to admit it. But we would like help each other out. We'd go to the park and we would purposely sort of distract our kids from the swings, or we'd purposely find parks that didn't have swings.
That's funny.
Or didn't have little baby swings, you know? So anyway, that day I was at the park with Clara and her little friend Sam, whose mom, my good friend Missy, hates the swings, incidentally.
A fellow swing hater.
Fellow swing hater. And they were, you know, I kind of did the obligatory 10. I think I would count, like I would give them a number that I would do. And I just kind of did like 15 pushes or whatever. And then I said, okay, let's move on to something else. And so we went over and we were laying in the grass and I was just making up these stories and we were having a great time. And then this mom comes up with her, you know, she's a younger mom than me, which, so I already feel a little showed up because she seems like way more enthusiastic about the whole thing than me. And the kids are like, can we go on the swings? And she said, yeah, let's do it. And she pulled them out of the swings or out of the stroller and they raced to the swings. And she's doing underdogs and tickle fights and all this stuff. And I'm just watching her like, oh, come on, lady. Like, I can't, you know, I can't compete with that. But then I thought, you know, good for her. She loves this. And she's obviously having a great time. And my kids aren't watching her, or my kid and my, you know, friend's kid aren't watching her thinking, why can't my mom be like that?
Right.
Because we were having a great time with what we were doing, which was just making up stories in the grass. So I don't know. It was just one of those moments where I thought, I don't have to feel snarky toward this mom because she likes something that I don't, which I think can apply to so many things, whether it's crafting or throwing parties. I don't have to feel snarky. I don't have to say something like, oh, who's got time for that? I can just not like the swings and let her like the swings. And that's totally cool. So anyway, that I think was what kind of sparked this.
Yeah, that prompted this. Well, let me, I'm going to tell you how I feel about swings because this is funny to me. I do not hate the swings. And I hate several things, as I will share over the course of this podcast. But the reason I kind of like the swings is I have three relatively young kids. So if I have all three at the playground, and my youngest, as listeners, if you've been listening, the running theme is that I have a very active, wild 2.5-year-old as my youngest.
Right.
So, and she does like the swings, and her in a swing means she is in one place and she's contained. Am in one place. So she's contained. And then she's not trying to do everything that the big kids are doing, which that, cause for me, if she's not in a swing, she's 2.5. She's a pretty coordinated athletic 2.5-year-old. So I don't worry about her as much, but when she was 1.5, 18 months, if she wasn't in the swing, it meant she was climbing to the very tallest, no fear in this child, like the very tallest where there's like the one gaping hole on the side.
Yeah.
And so then she's trying to do what, and that means I'm on top of the play structure. That, like, if there's one place I don't want to be at the playground, it is climbing the actual play structure. So that's funny because I wouldn't say I love the swings. And one thing, like when we used to go to the park with a bunch of moms and kind of toddlers in that stage, when we're like meeting up at a park, the swings were sort of like, they would ostracize you from your friends. Sometimes, like if I wanted to be talking to one of my friends, my kid wanted to be on the swings. So I remember we would try and like, don't you both want to go on the swings and we can stand next to each other and talk. But other than that, I really don't have any dislike for the swing. So I thought that was kind of a funny.
That is funny. Well, and that makes sense. It's also where you are in your life, right? So right now, I mean, Clara learned how to pump and I have to say when she learned how to pump, I just had this, I've been wanting it for so long, like that moment that she would learn how to pump and it was totally out of my hands.
Right.
And so I was really glad, but also I thought, oh, she doesn't need me anymore.
Nobody needs you to push
them. I know. They're totally self-sufficient. So, you know, going to the playground when I had like, say, a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old and a baby was stressful.
Right.
But going to the park now is like nothing. I mean, I can do anything. I don't even have to look at this playground anymore.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's such a different experience now. And it does kind of show me how things that once were super stressful for me or that I really disliked, I don't have to anymore.
Right.
And the irony is, I bet when I have grandkids, I'm going to love to take them and push them into things.
That's true. That's true.
I bet I'll love it. But it's different. When it's your everyday experience and you have to do it, it's different from wanting to do it.
Sure.
You know? And doing
and
it
I think
then.
like we just both said, both of our experiences with the swing, it has to do with, you know, what your personality is and what are the things you most enjoy doing anyway, you know, and how that fits into what your kids want. And that's probably kind of the broader thing we're going to be talking about today, really, is we don't have to spend every minute doing the things our kids want to do if it's things we don't like. So it's fun to find those areas where your natural play instincts overlap with what they want to do. And where they don't, it's just okay, I think.
Absolutely. So now I want to know.
What's that?
Sorry. I want to know your hates.
Yeah, okay. So I actually wrote down a few so that I wouldn't draw a blank. But this one of the things I really hate, and this is going to maybe sound funny, is I hate like going to fun events. And I mean that by like fairs, carnivals, crowds, places that are supposed to be fun for kids.
Oh, yeah. And they're not.
Usually. And they're not. But well, I hate them maybe even more than like the average person, because I really don't like lines and I really don't like crowds. And then when you combine that with small children in crowds and lines, like there's just almost, I feel like the people around me, I feel like have that feeling, but then they do it anyway because it's worth it to see the smile on the kid's face. Like I really would just as soon skip it. So
right.
We're recording this on the 4th of July.
Yeah. I'm not doing any of this downtown festivities, by
and
the way.
We're staying with my parents right now and they're renting a house that's walkable to a place where you can see the fireworks. And that is genius because where we are up in Santa Barbara right now, parking is terrible on the 4th. Parking and traffic, like you just can't. I would be like in a hole in my room. I would not venture out. But we are like a 3-block walk. We don't have to deal with parking. But it's been the running joke that like, I'm going to find a way to stay home from the fireworks because it's just almost no fun event is worth it for me. And I'm a complete curmudgeon about parking, crowds, yeah. Waiting in line. And I know as my kids are getting older, as their tolerance for those things, you know, increases, it won't be such a hassle for all of us. But I think it's just, that's one that's like hardwired in me. Like I've never really liked, I love a good get together, like a good backyard barbecue. It's not that I'm antisocial, but if I can skip crowds and parking and traffic and lines, I will. And so for like, as a mom, I mean, that's just a personality thing, but as a mom, it does mean that I really do avoid quote unquote fun. Like if I hear of like a pumpkin patch or a festival or a fair, it's like, it's gotta be somebody else's idea. Like I'll go, but it's not my favorite thing.
Well, that's so funny because that was something I really felt a lot of obligation to do when my kids were little, mm-hmm. And, you know, and I've lived in a lot of small towns. So every time there was like a festival or a fair or a carnival, you know, those little pop-up carnivals they put up in those things freak me out. How can those rides be safe? I don't know.
No.
And I would always feel like, oh, well, this is a thing. Like, this is one of those things you're supposed to do with your kids. Right. And so we would go. And we went to fireworks almost every year. And finally, I just stopped feeling like I had to. And you know what I think about fireworks? This is just a good example because that's something I'm not doing with my family today. Right. For all the reasons that you listed. The parking is terrible. We can walk from our house, but we have to cross this really busy street and they don't direct traffic very well. So it takes forever. And by that point, it's dark and everybody is tired, you know?
Yeah.
It's pitch black down at the beach, which is where most people here go to watch the fireworks. Right. So you can lose a kid so easily. Yeah. And when they were little, that was even scarier. Now I don't think they're going to wander into the lake, but it's just a lot of stress and a lot of hassle and a lot of packing and carrying and dealing with stuff. And it's like a 20-minute fireworks show. Right. So the way I kind of got around that feeling in my head was my kids will have so many different opportunities where they can watch fireworks. They can watch them at a ball game. We go to Disney every few years. They can see them there. It's like, I don't feel like it's a childhood must, you know?
Right.
It's not their birthright to see fireworks on the 4th of July every single year. So we'll get some sparklers and we'll just hang out in someone's backyard. And I mean, it's going to be totally low key. I am the same way about parades. I hate parades.
Oh, yeah.
Parades are the worst, in my opinion. And I know some people really love them and good for them. But people here, we have these, you know, these little small town parades and people go and stake out a spot early and then sit there on the curb like all day.
Yeah.
It's hot. The kids are bored.
I know.
They don't even throw candy anymore at parades. Right. So, you know, it's not even like that. And then there's like sirens. I don't like I never liked those when I was a kid. No, I hated parades when I was a kid because of the sirens.
Oh, so, well, I'm glad I'm not alone.
This makes it sound like super curmudgeonly though.
I know, but I figured this is where we were going to go with this. It's just some ranting. Luckily, our listeners, we've gotten another couple awesome emails about how people appreciate that we're keeping it real.
Yeah.
So we're going with that. If you're new... This is how we roll here.
Yeah.
No, but I think we will, when we kind of bring this around in a little bit, we'll talk about some of the things we do love to do. Because I think that's part of this, right?
It is
that nobody loves to do everything. And that's what you said in your post about the swings that we'll link to in the show notes, is that nobody loves everything. We're human. And that, you know, kind of acknowledging that and giving yourself permission lets you off the hook, and maybe even lets you enjoy the things you do love to do with your kids, and lets them see you enjoying those things more when you don't think you have to love everything.
And
I
think that we all have in our head this list, this almost laundry list idea of the things moms are supposed to like, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
and the things that kids deserve to have in their childhood, quote unquote. And mm-hmm. it's kind of a screwy list if you think about it. Like, why would I get so hung up on fireworks? I mean, it's cool. It's not like I don't, you know, it's not like I have
or
a problem with fireworks.
We're taking them to the fair.
We're taking
kids
to the fair. I mean, those are fun things to do, but it's not like my kids are going to be damaged if they only go to the fair a few times in their childhood.
Right.
And I only went to the fair a few times in my childhood. Right. I think our parents were better
about
just saying, this year we're not doing that.
Right.
We're doing something. We're going to go visit a family member, or we're going to hang out at our own house. I mean, I think my parents' generation of parents, I guess, we're just good about drawing lines in the sand and doing the things that mattered for our family. And I think now, because maybe there's so many options, or maybe there's social media.
Yes, I think so. And the
aspect.
Options are so like widely communicated to us
in all
ways.
You
we
have
always
no excuses.
Know what's going
you cannot
on.
Opt out and pretend like you didn't know. And because people are sharing
just like
stuff.
It's like a local newspaper that you have, you know.
People are sharing stuff on social media too. And that adds to the feeling like everybody else is doing something. So like in my town, you know, the days of the big parades, my feed is full of people, those parades. But if I go around and talk to people, I find out maybe only a quarter of the families I know actually went.
Right.
It just feels like it's everybody.
Right.
You know, one thing I want to mention before we get into talking about the things we do like to do, because I think that is important and we don't want to just complain the whole time.
Although we have more time for complaining.
I'll sit here and complain for the next 20 minutes at least. But
There will be 20 more minutes of complaining.
I think that there's also when you can kind of step back and embrace what you do love, it allows you to bring other people along for the ride, and then vice versa, your kids get to have those experiences without you having to do it. And I'm sure you have an example of a time a family member or a friend took your kids along to something, or one of your kids.
Right.
To something you don't want to do.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. And then everybody, you know, kind of knows their strengths. And hopefully if you find yourself kind of in a family group or a community or a neighborhood where the kids get to experience those things, you know, back when we lived in Arizona, we had like the crafty mom friend. And those were when the kids went to that house, there was glitter. There's never glitter at my house. Like, not loose glitter, at least. Maybe
glitter. I'll have glitter and glue form.
Yes. Glitter and glue. Yeah. But even
in a gel formation,
it's in the cabinet that nobody knows about. Like, it's not free access, at least not right now in my house. But, you know, there's like the house where the crafty mom lived, and the house where, you know, the food was really good. And, you know, like if you can assemble that village where the kids are exposed to all those different kinds of things, you know, it all works out. And I think, you know, it's good for kids to see adults cultivating their own likes and interests. And maybe that's a stretch, and maybe I'm just sort of like sugarcoating it, but it's not a bad thing for kids to see adults who are really clear about what they like and what they don't like.
I totally agree.
And it's everybody knows it's good when mom is kind of happy and not stressed out. It doesn't mean you'll never just buck up and go to the fair, because once in a while, you know, you might even have fun, but doing things because they're supposed to be done usually leads to nowhere good.
Yeah.
But I have another thing I know you hate to do, and I'm going to call you out on it.
Oh,
and that
boy.
Is
All right.
reading Dr. Seuss books. Do you want to talk about that?
The worst. And I feel like a total fink to say I hate to read Dr. Seuss. I mean, it's un-American. And here I am on the 4th of July talking about hating Dr. Seuss. But I don't mind reading it quietly to myself. I think they're clever. I love The Grinch That Stole Christmas. I love The Cat in the Hat. I mean, I enjoy reading those books quietly to myself. And I didn't realize how much I despised reading them out loud until I had kids. And I would sit down and, you know, I remember when Jacob was like old enough to go pick out his own books, however old that was. And I'd say, Jacob, go pick out a book. And he would toddle over and he'd come back with like The Cat in the Hat. And then I'd say, yeah. I mean, I'll do Hop on Pop. There's very few words in that one, so that's okay.
Right.
But most of the time, it's But those ones that have very few words are boring.
Yeah, they're boring and sometimes they're harder. So, okay, so here's my feeling on Dr. Seuss is sometimes I think they all get lumped together, but some of them are actually better stories. Like some are actually good stories with some rhyming. And then others are just the tongue twisters. Violet loves Fox and Socks right now. Do you know what kind of torture Fox and Socks is?
Oh, yes. It
is like, I mean, that is the worst. So I do think there's some that are, I can do the ones that are more like narrative, you know, like a story like The Cat in the Hat or even like The Lorax or some of those. They have rhyming, but they're not purposely set up to trip your tongue. Like
no, Fox but I do feel like The Cat in the Hat has a lot more words than you would think going in.
They're long. Yeah.
It's long.
They're long. Definitely.
And so I'd get into it and by like the third page, my mouth is tired.
Yeah.
I'm having to do like diction exercises before I start, you know, like warm ups. Before I can read this book. Exactly. Yeah, that's one of those things. And the way I solved that was by, you know, I usually leave certain books out in a basket that are sort of in rotation. And then we would, and this was a bigger thing when the kids were smaller. Now they kind of self-choose. But, you know, when they were like toddlers, I would have a basket out and that would have, you know, the 10 or 15 books we're sort of doing right now. And then I would rotate them.
Right.
And I would just make sure there was never more than like one or two Dr. Seuss books in the rotation. And sometimes I would direct the kids away, like, if they wanted to read Fox and Socks for the 80 and millionth time.
Right. Yeah, and there's ages. Like, there's kind of 2 and 3 year olds get really, like, attached. And you just sort of resign yourself to reading the same book over and over again because that's, like, the pick your battles stage. But I reading aloud is actually one of the things on my list of things I love to do because I'll read almost anything aloud. I'd much rather read aloud than make up a story or do some other things. But I, when I see people say that they don't like to read aloud or they don't like this book, I always kind of think to myself, like, I take a pretty heavy hand in the books that are available to read aloud. And there are even a few books that my kids, that they just get it out. I'm like, nope, I don't read that one. And it's probably not something that somebody else would be irritated by. There's one that's, you know, The Magic School Bus.
Yeah.
What was the show? And then there's books, and they have all these like
the treehouse.
Not treehouse. Yeah. I like reading Magic Treehouse a lot. Those are fine. No, Magic School Bus was like the science ones. There was the show, and it was a cartoon in the '80s with.
Oh
Lily
yeah,
Thompson.
No, and it's still on. Yeah. Syndication. That show.
Right, and the kids like watching the show, and I don't mind the show, but the books have all of these science facts, and they're like in little speech bubbles, right? Mm. So there's no as someone I'm like a linear person. Like I like to read a story and it's almost more like a comic book. Like I can't read books that are like set up like a comic book where there's speech bubbles and things happening. And the kids tend to love that kind of thing. So my kids know, like, I don't read that. And there's my son has some more comic book type books that I'm like, no, find something else. So I guess maybe the lesson there is you don't have to have the books out that you don't like to read. If
That's
reading
really
aloud,
good point.
Because I think,
you are driving the bus as a parent. We're not,
exactly.
You know, and if they get those awful books that are like, they're basically like Disney storybooks and then someone wrote some really crappy copy about Jasmine or whatever,
those
you don't have
horrible.
To have those in your house. Those
I
can
don't.
Those can disappear. They can be disappeared.
And they charge $28 for them because they have the licensed characters on them. And
You know, another thing is something I found that I didn't really figure this out until my kids were older is I enjoy reading chapter books out loud a whole lot more than a lot of picture books. Mm-hmm. And you can start chapter books earlier than you think.
Yes.
You just read just a little bit. You don't even have to read a whole chapter if it's kind of involved. That was kind of how we skirted. And some of the ones have really beautiful illustrations, like any that are illustrated by Garth Williams. That's his name, right? The guy who did the little house and the...
Yep. Charlotte's Web and Stuart Little.
Charlotte's Web. I mean, there's something for the kid to look at. Even a three-year-old likes to listen.
I think we did start chapter books between 3 and 4 in the same way. And it is, I mean, it's so enjoyable. Those of you who are listening whose kids are not there yet, it is so fun to reread those books if you're a reader and a book lover. And you will get there. And then there are new ones. I mean, Magic Treehouse is great for early chapter books and they have pictures. And I agree. There was a great article a few months ago about reading aloud. And it was like, I don't know, 10 things to know about reading aloud to your kids. And one of the points was that exactly, that you can start, that you can read above their level younger than you think. And all you have to do is just do little bits and stop and
talk about it. Yeah, and it'll take you forever to get through a book, but it's fine. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, that's another good alternative.
We should actually link to I did a show with Sarah, who has the Read Aloud Revolution podcast, which I know people love.
Read Aloud Revolution,
Yeah, and we did a show, an episode of the Home Hour like a few months ago. So we should link to that in the show notes. So just go to the Mom Hour and find this episode, and you'll see that. Because we had a good conversation about all these things.
Yeah, reading aloud is one of those things you kind of hear like, oh, if I have to read this book one more time. So yeah, so you don't. You don't have to read that book one more time if if it's that important to you.
One more hack about reading aloud is I've also realized with little kids that if you don't, if you're reading one of those books that is just a little longer than you actually want to say all the words and you want to paraphrase, make sure you don't read that one very often because kids will memorize the book and they'll figure you out. Like they will catch you. So I would know there was books that I like, I enjoy, I like the pictures, I like the story, but there's just too many words. And you know those books, Sarah, and you do a little paraphrasing or a little, I don't know, maybe you're not a big cheater like I am. But I would paraphrase, I would drop some of the phrases I didn't think really needed to be in there. But you can't do that with kids who are emergent readers.
Right.
Because they follow along. And you can't do that with kids who've already memorized the book.
Right. Right.
So think ahead. Be proactive.
Yes. Yes. I love it. I love it. So how do you feel? So I have another thing that I hate doing.
Okay.
And I don't know how you feel about this one. I know how you feel about Dr. Seuss.
It's going to turn out I hate everything.
Yeah.
Then no one's going to want to listen to the show anymore.
Maybe just after 17 years of motherhood, you hate everything.
I'm just done with it all.
You're just tired of everything. No, I'm just kidding. I do not like playing make-believe at all. Especially if I have to like make up. If I have to stay in character longer than like one line, like the extent of my ability to pretend with my kids is like they can pretend to make me a meal in their play kitchen and bring it to me on a plate and I will pretend to eat it. That's pretty much it. Like if I have to, and the funny thing is I'm a huge like proponent of make-believe play. Like I love that kids do it and I think it's really important and I'd rather see my kids play make-believe than do anything else. I just want no part of it. And I'll just come out and say that. And my husband's really good at playing make-believe. So that's just, you know, that's just, there's people pretending all around me all the time. And I almost never partake of it. So I don't know how you feel about role play.
Yeah. Okay. So theoretically I should love it. When I grew up, I mean, I was in a state of make-believe at all times.
Right. That's like my son.
I mean, at all times. My mom, I remember being like, are you here with me? And are you, hello, Megan, are you here? So I really thought that would be something I would love to do with my kids. I like making up stories. I like writing stories. You know, those are all things I can, and I can make up stories and I act, you know, so all those things. Here's what I found about making believe with little kids. It's not fun for me because they want to direct everything.
Yes. Yes, they only want you to say one thing.
They want you to say exactly what they want you to say. Right. And so I got into this with Jacob, and I remember sitting down with him, and he'd have his little cars, and I'd have the little cars, and I'd be like, vroom, vroom, let's go over here. And he's like, no, that's not what we're doing. I say, oh, okay, well, what are we doing? He's like, well, we're doing this. And then he would give me, like, his story.
Right.
And he basically just wanted me to parrot. Yeah. What he was, he just wanted an extra set of hands.
They'll tell you like right up, they want you there, but they'll tell you, they'll feed you lines. Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I think that that's boring. So I would find a way out of it usually. And I actually think I wrote a post, I'll have to dig now, a long time ago about how I kind of just resigned myself to being a grown up. Like I don't really want to lay on the carpet and push cars around and listen to you dictate to me what I'm going to do with those cars. Clara's even worse. I mean, she lives in this fantasy world. She's just like me when I was a little kid of all the time. And I would love to be part of that fantasy world with her, but she doesn't want me to have any agency over my own make-believe play. You know, she's a tyrant. So I'll play games with her like, and this was a game that she doesn't play as much anymore, but we played this like every day for a year. It was pretend you're at a pet store and I'm a kitty and you buy And I'd want to come up with like, oh, it's this kitty. And, you know, I'd come up with this whole thing. And then she'd be like, no, mom, you know, you're supposed to say, look at this cute kitty. Right. Oh, he looks lonely. So I would do it, but very grudgingly. Like you, I'll eat the food if she brings me the food.
Right.
And luckily,
Violet
I just.
Pretends right now, even at, she's only 2.5, but she's just starting to get into it. But we joined a gym a few months ago and she goes to the childcare. And that's her first experience into any kind of organized childcare. So like a lot of kids, they act out what they like are experiencing in real life. So we pretend all day long. She brings me a baby and says, I'm dropping it off at Kids World. That's the name of her childcare. So that's what we all day long. I'm brought babies and I'm supposed to take care of them in Kids World. Now at 2.5, She's a little easier to fool. Like, I can just pat the baby and, like, kind of continue to do my own thing. But, yeah, they do become very specific. And then I'm sure probably some of your boys have gone through this, too, with – it's not just boy stuff, but when there's a very specific narrative, like Star Wars or Lego Ninjago or Harry Potter, and you don't know it, and I refuse to learn it, quite frankly. I mean, once I've kind of given it the, like, parental blessing that this is a good movie or book or story, then I just have no plans on – intimately knowing the characters or the details. And so how can I pretend? I mean, even if I wanted to set down everything and give him that little time to pretend, I don't know the characters. So I'm sure that came up with you too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And also sometimes they would have like their own sort of like spin-off almost of it. So my kids were really into Pokemon and I tried, man. We've just gotten into that, and
again,
there's so many of them, and I've watched a few of the shows. But then they would have like their own version, so they, you know, they would invent stuff.
Oh, totally.
And invent so even it's not even like I could have studied, you know, the Pokemon, you know, history, I guess, and maybe come in and kind of had a passing knowledge. But then there was all this their own take on it and their own you know versions and stuff. So here's my thinking about this. I just feel like again. This is one of those things that probably a lot more parents don't like than feel they can
and feel bad about it or feel like they should be doing it.
But I also just don't feel like as a grown-up, it's my job to play with my kids at that level. And I don't think they need me to. Like, I just don't. I think play is the child's work. And especially imaginative play. They're working so much stuff out and they can do it alone. They can do it with other kids. I feel like when you get adults in there, I mean, that's one thing. If you love it and you want to do it, great. But I just feel like that – I feel like having us involved does change it a bit. And I think whenever Clara or any of my kids has wanted me to play make-believe with them, it's been like a last resort. I'm never going to be their first choice.
And, you know, they're not usually probably as satisfied either unless you just find like a grown-up big kid like my husband can be sometimes who really will play Star Wars like a kid.
I always just felt like I was just a body. Like another person in the room. And I actually remember having this with my mom up until I was pretty old, like 7 or 8. I remember I would tell my mom that I was going to have a party and like 30 people were going to come. And I'd run out the back door and I'd put something on like a purse or, you know, a hat or whatever. And then I'd run to the first to the front door and I'd ring the doorbell and my mom would answer the door. And I'd say, hi, I'm Alice. I'm here to see. And so she would kind of just – that required like no work. And she would kind of go along with it. But then later I would say, so mom, you know, can you like come to the party? And she's like, no. No. I answered the door 30 times. I've done my job, and I only wanted her to do that because I didn't have anyone else to do it. It wasn't and if she had said no or been busy, I would have just come up with something else. I would have just gone in. I don't know.
And had a teddy bear party.
Exactly.
You know what I will say, because we're ragging on make-believe a little, and I'm such a big, you know, I'm such a fan of make-believe, and I'll link to my, a great book is called The Case for Make-Believe, which is like, I think 10 years old and was really influential in my thinking. But putting a little bit of time maybe into playing make-believe with the really young ones, the preschoolers, two and three-year-olds, is, and I don't mean sit down on the floor and play baby dolls all day if that's not what you want to do, but I do think it pays dividends later, because if the kids haven't learned that kind of role play, it is a little harder for them to do it in their mind or to do it with a sibling. So if there's any time where it's worth, and like I said with Violet, they tend to do the same things over and over again, and it's a little easier to just play your part. They don't get as, you know, hung up on the bossy details and the characters and all that. So, you know, I feel like that is, if you're going to spend, you know, 15 minutes pretending a restaurant or baby dolls or whatever, it's probably those young ones are when it kind of helps them, because then later on they really do learn to do that on their own or with a friend or with a sibling.
Well, it helps them. And again, like you said, it's not the same. It's not as much work for you, because you can just kind of do whatever. And it's not as, play babies, hold the baby and pretend like you're feeding it or whatever. That's easy. So, I'll do that all day. It's the complicated dialogues with these characters I don't know. And where nothing I say is right.
And they correct you on everything. And it's not fun for them either. I don't think it's really what they want out of you either. So this is a good time to talk about when you do need to or want to say no to your kids asking you to play with them in this way. What are some ways where you can do that without it being, you know, just a complete shutdown for them? I feel like what I usually do is offer to do something else. You know, like I'm not available to do that right now, but I'd love to read you a book. I mean, I will almost always read aloud. That's one thing I can I can almost always do. Do you have any other strategies?
Well, what I do is I look at the situation and I try to figure out, is it that they want to spend time with me or is it they really want to play this game?
Yeah, that's a great point. There's
two different things. So if they just really want to spend time with me, then let's color. And that's something I actually didn't like doing when I was a little kid, but now I kind of enjoy it.
I like to color. Yeah.
Or why don't we go in the kitchen together? Especially sometimes when it's because I really am busy and doing something, I'll say, why don't you come in here and you can talk to me while I cook, or you can mix up some ingredients or whatever, if it's because they want to be with me. A lot of times it's really just because they want to advance the game and they don't have a friend to play with. Mm-hmm. So at that point I might just kind of humor them for like the 5 to 10 minutes. Sure. I might figure out a role I can play in the game that doesn't require me to know, you know, like maybe I'm the storekeep. Mm-hmm. Is there any way to work that into the story? Is there any way to work me into the story as an adult? That's something I can do. Like, I can sit here and pretend to be an adult as part of your story.
Right.
I don't know how to pretend to be a Pokemon character.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? So I think it depends on what it is they really want. And thirdly, sometimes it's just that they really need a little buddy to play with. And in that case, then I'll call someone and see if they can bring a kid over and drop them off. Sometimes that is all they want. It's just another... Right. A little kid. They don't want me. They really want to play with one of their cousins or a friend. So,
and you know, I mean, some classic advice you always read is to make sure you're kind of filling kids' cups proactively so that they don't feel like you're always saying no. And I think that advice works really well in stuff like this. If you know that you get asked to play Lego Ninjago 8 times a day, it doesn't hurt to preempt the request and say, hey, I've got a, and I think I do this when I have a free 5 minutes and say, you know, can we do that thing you were asking about yesterday? I'm free right now. And even if it's not your favorite thing, by doing it proactively, you're at least kind of, I mean, completely granting their wish fulfillment, but you're doing it on your own time. And probably it's 5 or 10 minutes that then later you're not having to say no to. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
Or suggesting an activity that you actually don't mind doing and do want to do, but still they're getting that feeling like you want to be with them and you want to play with them rather than having to say no later when you're cooking dinner or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it just, and sometimes it is about them wanting to just be with you. And I think if we can feel that, it makes it feel a little better when we can't or just don't want to play later. But again, I mean, it just depends what, and you can kind of tell the older kids, especially what it is they're trying to get out of you.
And right.
If it's time with mom, you know, that's easy enough to accommodate.
Right.
Just maybe in a different way.
Right.
You might have to suggest.
Yes, definitely. So what are some things that you said you like to draw? What are some other color? What are some other things you do?
I'm terrible at drawing. and that's another funny thing. So sometimes the kids will come up and say, Mom, I need you to draw me something. And I was like, honestly, anything you can draw will be better than anything I can draw. So no, I'm not going to do that. I love to have stories dictated to me and write them down. That's something that I don't have to do as much anymore because the kids can all
write. They can write. Now.
But I used to do a lot of that. Here's a thing that I'm great at, which I don't know if this is like really an activity so much, but when we were talking earlier about trading and everyone having their strengths and everybody having something they're good at, I've always been great at being the mom who will take a whole bunch of kids with me someplace or who will like have a house full of kids. And so there's been times when we've been like on our way out the door to go to a water park or something and we realize we have an extra seat open and we'll just call a kid and be like, hey, you want to come? I mean, I feel like that's one of those things where like I never mind adding more kids to the mix, and I'm able to deal with the chaos of that really well. And I think that what that's done is allow me to offer that to my friends, that spontaneity and that being able to take their kids places. And then so the trade-off is, and then you hope they involve your kids in something they like
that
you don't, which could be anything from, you know, teaching them to tie their shoes or to, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Things I imaginative storytelling, not play, exactly.
Right.
Is something.
See, I have a really hard time making up stories. That would be on my not like list. I'd rather read a book, even a book that I don't love, than make up a story. And I don't know why, but you've got that.
No, I have that. And also mine was born out of a little bit of laziness and desperation when my kids were really little. I just remember having like a nursing baby and laying on the other kid's mm-hmm. bed with a nursing baby, and I'm exhausted, and they mm-hmm. want me to read a story. And I'm thinking, first of all, the lights are already off. Secondly, my hands aren't really mm-hmm. free. Thirdly, right. I honest to God just can't don't keep have my the eyes strength. Open.
Yeah.
And so I would just be like, everyone close your eyes and I'm just going to tell a story. And I would just start making stuff up, and the stories were dumb. But I would add a little bit to them every night.
They love that.
And it just, it got them what they wanted, which is time uh-huh. with me and time to yeah. settle into bed. And I didn't, you know, but it was so much more manageable for me than it would have been to get up, get the book right. out, turn yeah. the lights back on.
I love that.
Yeah. So that was kind of where that was born. And it just became something that I enjoy doing and I'm pretty good at. But again, like, you don't have to be. There's
no, I love to sing. I mean, I know you love to sing too. We both love to sing, but I would rather probably just sing and or even make up songs or change the words yeah. to songs, which is something I'm oddly good at, but rather than make up a story. So that's like, it's like a joke in the car if people yeah. are like grouchy in the car, that it's like a joke that I always say, like, okay, let's sing a song. They're like, Mom. Yeah. That's when I would be like the choir director mom. Actually, this Christmas I did, one of our neighbors was like, we should take the kids caroling. There's so many, you know, kids on our street. And I was like, we should absolutely do that. I'm organizing it. And my friends were kind of like, really? You're not the, because I really am not a big, like we talked about, I don't like big organized events. I'm kind of a homebody. But that one, for some reason, like hit in the sweet spot of, I love singing. I love singing kids. I love the holidays.
There's no parking involved.
There's no parking, and it was right outside my front door.
Right. That makes a difference.
So yeah, it's kind of finding those ways that the things you love to do are also things that are fun for the kids.
Now, here's another thing. If you're not great at making stories up, but you are in a position like I was all those years ago when you're exhausted at bedtime and it's just a hassle, and maybe you're putting more than one kid to bed at the same time, or you've mm-hmm. got a nursing baby or whatever, get a book on tape.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because you can all listen together, or, you know, I guess these days it wouldn't be a book on tape. Oh my gosh, that made me sound like I'm like 50
it's okay.
years old or something.
We totally knew what you meant.
A book on, get an 8-track. Yeah. No, you know, download an audiobook. Or I do think that the radio or the libraries still do actually have children's books on tapes. But because
well, and actually, what most libraries do now, and this is like, this is something I've been telling people that I discovered last summer, is most our library, and I think most libraries now, are connected to like a digital online library where you don't have to go in and check out an audiobook. You log in with your library info, and then yeah. on your device, you download it there. And so we've been doing that.
Can I make a really funny confession right now about yeah. another thing I hate? I hate returning yeah. library books, which is why I haven't been to my library in a while.
Well, this is for you
because I have to do the walk of shame.
Audiobooks through your library, so free because audiobooks are expensive.
I can't use my library until I do the walk of shame at the desk and write the check for the fees. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I've been putting that off, and I know I just need to do it. But yeah, so I'm terrible because I would go in. I had this pattern where I go in and I check out way too many books.
Yeah.
Because it's like a smorgasbord. I can't stop right. myself. And then we take them all home and one yeah. gets lost. And then we yeah. return everything else. And then when I go back to check stuff out, they're like, oh, no, you still have XYZ right. book out. And then I go home to find it. I don't find it. Then I'm all ashamed. It's just, it's a terrible pattern that I need to just get over. And go
you should just pay the fine. Pay it off. Buy yourself off.
That's what it's for. It's, you know, everybody does it at some point. But
I know.
But yes, so some sort of audio file.
Yeah, you know. And so definitely look it up if your library has, because this is something I've discovered a lot of people don't know about, even people who are pretty tech savvy, and audiobooks are so great. And it's so much less guilt for me than turning on the TV. It just feels like they just sit there with headphones, which I guess is pretty passive, but mm-hmm. It just feels different. And it is, it's like they'll listen to, yeah, it's great, I agree. And that that Sarah Mays is in that Read Aloud Revival podcast too. She talks about audiobooks. So
yeah, I feel like she and I might have touched on that as well. It's just sometimes reading doesn't have to look, or storytelling or whatever it is. Right. You know, enjoying literature with your kids does not have to look the classic way we always think it looks. It can
and
be a
bedtime,
lot of different things.
Right. And bedtime doesn't always have to be the time for reading aloud. That's a time when I'm really tired and don't particularly love reading aloud, but it's midday if my kids are squirrely that I sometimes just sit down with a book and start reading and see who comes to listen, you know, because it's like, if you read it, they will come. So.
Yeah. Well, and for me, the thing I've sort of decided for myself is because I don't, although I love to read and I love books and I don't mind reading out loud. It's not the first thing I think of. So I often wouldn't think like proactively to do it. So I've just made a rule for myself. As long as I'm not actively like working on work or cooking dinner, anytime a kid asks me to read to them, I will drop everything and do it. So
that's I mean, there's obviously times a day that won't work. That's the one thing I say yes to. And I've kind of, that's just something I declared in my own mind at one point, but the same thing, like, unless I physically cannot do it, will you read me a book? It always gets the answer. Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It may not be the Magic School Bus book, but
yeah. But again, now, because we're talking about things we hate, say you're the mom who just, for whatever reason, say, you know, I think that sometimes we both like to talk a lot and we talk fast.
Yeah.
I don't think that everybody has the, the endurance that we have, Sarah. People's voices get tired. People don't like it for whatever reason. Right. So that's when you have your audiobook on hand and you say, let's go cuddle up in a chair and listen together. Right. It's still spending time with your kids. It's still, you know, consuming literature, and that's what counts.
Right. I love it.
Have we talked about all the things we hate? We're running out of time now. And I just wonder
if there's any... unless you're thinking of more. I mean, pretty much we hate fun. We hate playing.
We hate fun. That's what we should call this episode. We hate fun. We hate love. We hate joy. I love snuggling. I'm the best snuggler. I will always snuggle a kid. I'll snuggle other people's kids.
Oh, that's, yes. That's a talent.
I'm a equal opportunity lap and snuggler and hugger. And that's something that I think is important too. And not everybody loves it.
This too, but I love to talk, obviously. This is not new to anyone. But I feel like having conversations, and as your kids get older, if you're listening and you're kind of in the toddler preschooler age, but the older your kids get, the more fun they are to talk to. And I love, you know, whatever it is, kind of like throwing out a hypothetical question and seeing what they say and debating and talking. Yeah. And that is something probably not everybody loves to do as much as you and I, Megan. But there are, I think if you think about it, there are little mom superpowers that you have or things that you really like and are really good at that are great for your kids. And the things that you don't, if you do not love Legos or if you do not love trains, that is not the end of the world. So I guess the message is to acknowledge those other ways that you spend time with your kids. And if you're home with your kids, if you're working from home, if you're staying at home, you're logging a lot of hours. Not all of them have to be actively engaged in what is traditionally defined as play.
Benign neglect is a very good thing. You know, just it's kids. They need us. They need an adult around, but they don't need us to be actively involved in what they're doing every moment of the day. In fact, I think that is too much. And I think that they need time to just be on their own and figuring stuff out.
And there are stages where they'll ask you to play with them all the time. Like we've talked about, I think 2 and 3 year olds, it's like a really, it's a struggle because they're old enough that they kind of know what they want to do and they've been exposed to big kid play, but they have a little bit of a hard time playing by themselves yet. So that's going to probably always be a struggle and they're going to ask you to play with them. And so hopefully we've given some strategies for how to do it and not make yourself crazy, but it gets better, especially if you give them that freedom to play by themselves and those growing pains of figuring out what to do with themselves, it gets way better.
So before we wrap up, I want to address something that I think is important that I didn't really realize until maybe the last few years. And that is that depending on the stage you're in right now, you may, quote, hate, unquote, something that you legitimately hate because right now it stinks.
Mm-hmm.
So an example would be when I had a bunch of small children, I would say I hated crafting. Because for me at that point, crafting was taking messy crap out, running madly around a table.
Keeping a toddler out of it.
Keeping the toddler out of it. You know, pre-cutting shapes or handling the glue stick or whatever it was. Boring stuff that wasn't really even crafting. It was sort of like managing an assembly line. Well, it's an assembly line, really. I mean, the stuff that you looked at to do with kids that are, you know, crafts.
Right.
It's not particularly artistic a lot of the time because you have to kind of give them pieces they can work with. So it's not fun. Right. For me, it's not fun.
No.
That's
what preschool teachers are for.
That's what preschool teachers are for. And they love it. And God bless them, you know. But
Some of us pay them. And again,
my friend Missy and I would go to like library story time and she'd be like, do you think we could get the kids out, like sneak them out the door before craft time? Because at the very end, there was always craft. And it was, again, just like us running around managing like little pom-poms and glitter. And at the end, the kids kind of made this whatever on a paper plate and they weren't particularly proud of it. It was just, to me, it always felt like more hassle than it was worth. But I don't need to be playing in that medium so much. It's not like, you know, the glue right. and the glitter and all that for me. It wasn't that fun. So what I will say is, as your children get older or you move into a different phase, you might find that you can have a new approach to some of those things. Mm-hmm. And there might be something that you do like. So you might think of yourself as someone who hates to bake or hates to craft mm-hmm. or hates to do whatever. But maybe there's something about that once you have your arms free and your lap free, like I'm getting into mm-hmm. doing needlework. So I'm embroidering mm-hmm. and I've been working on this piece for a long time. So it's not like I'm doing it every night. But I really enjoy it because I don't have a toddler anymore. Mm-hmm. No one's climbing in my lap. No one's taking the threads and running away mm-hmm. with them. I now have the ability to enjoy that. And it is crafting. It's just mm-hmm. not what I thought of as crafting.
Right, right.
So I think we have to be open to mm-hmm. evolving a little bit while keeping in mind that we both hate fun. And parades.
No parades. On this, Fourth of July day, we declare.
And you know what? I would fight to the death for your right not to go to the Fourth of July fireworks. That is what we earned.
If I conveniently fall asleep at 9 o'clock, which isn't, exactly. Unheard of, as you know, then I won't make it to the fireworks. But yeah. I think I just may do it this year for my older two kids because
and then you know what? Then you'll have put it in your time and you won't have to do it again for years. That's the other great
thing. Exactly. And I should do it while I can walk down the street and don't have to park. This is the year I should do it. And I'll be like, remember that time I took you to the fireworks?
Absolutely. They're like, what? That happened? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. I was back in Santa Barbara like 10 years ago. I don't remember. Yeah. Just take a picture and make sure you save that picture.
Yes. Proof.
So we're going to have a great show notes because I feel like we mentioned a couple different things mm-hmm. that we need to link to now.
Yep. We're going to talk about reading aloud or link to reading aloud. You hating the swings. You had another great post that we didn't talk about, but I'll link to an old one called Know Your Strengths. Do you remember that one?
Sort of. Yeah.
Kind of the same thing.
I think I also have one called It's Okay to Be a Boring Grown Up. At one point. Okay. And I think that touches on a lot of stuff that we talked about today. Yeah. We also have the link for the Summer Brain Games. Again, Museum of Science and Industry is this week's sponsor, and they are giving away a free 8-week Summer Brain Games program. Sign up for it with your email, and you can also get a free museum voucher that will get you someone in your family into the museum for free, which is great. But if you don't live near Chicago, still sign up for it because it's a really awesome program.
Very cool. All right. This has been great. Episode 10. Everything will be at themomhour.com. It's where you can find all this stuff we're talking about. And we will make an effort next time to be more fun. Including a link to
like us or review us or rate us on iTunes. Please continue to do that. It's really helpful. And I've been seeing a lot of those trickle in. And it's great.
Yay. Well, thanks,
Megan. Email us. Hello at the mom hour. Yes. Hello at the mom hour.com.
Thanks, everybody.
Go enjoy your 4th of July. In your curmudgeonly way, and everybody else will be talking to you in the middle of next week. And we'll be back in a week. Signing off.